And a very good morning to you from the Access Programme here in University of Galway. And it's going to be a sunny afternoon, so it is, and sunny spells will develop and showers will become more isolated. A few showers may still be heavy and thundery and wintry on higher ground as well. But highest temperatures during daylight hours will be 5 to 8 degrees. Scattered showers tonight and a few lingering isolated showers. Also, some wintry on higher ground. Long, clear spells and dry spells will develop overnight and winds will fall also. And temperatures will be minus 2 to plus 2 degrees overnight, with the degree of frost or ice possible as well. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. We are coming to you live from the Access programme here in the University of Galway, and we're delighted to be here with all of the team, and we're here right through until 12 midday. Can I just refer to... I want to refer to that accident. We're getting some texts in today in relation to that unfortunate accident that happened just outside Claremorris yesterday, where a mom and two daughters indeed lost their life. And we've got two texts in which have been absolutely scurrilous, saying that we haven't mentioned it, we haven't spoken about it, we haven't named the people in question, because we can't. It's a very sensitive situation, a very sensitive operation, and our thoughts are with everybody affected by it. Everybody, all the family members, all their associates, friends and otherwise. It is a very delicate situation, and our news team are handling it very delicate. And for those of you that are sending in texts, I would urge that you don't at this stage, because you don't know the full facts of the case. I do, since late last night and again early this morning. It will become very apparent later in the day, but please show a bit of respect to the family that lost a mom and two children, and the extended family and friends and all that goes with it. And there is a local aspect to it. So please, patience and a little bit of cop on, to be quite honest, today. Anyway, it's let me move on today, because Platform 94, which is that brand new facility indeed in the industrial estate in Merview there. Well, it was absolutely buzzing yesterday because Silicon Valley CEO returned to West of Ireland roots for Platform 94 business briefing. And the lady in question is Mona P. Walsh, a native of County Mayo and a graduate of University of Galway, or as it was known then, NUI Galway indeed, a native of Castlebar in County Mayo, and she joins me on the line today. Mona, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us today on the programme. To be honest, I was getting calls from the middle of last week until yesterday. A lot of excitement with your arrival, because you're bringing a wealth of knowledge with you.
Oh, thank you. I hope some of the knowledge I shared yesterday was helpful. It's really great to be back home in the West, and particularly back home talking to West of Ireland companies that are actually doing very well and are more and more positioned to scale in global markets.
And do they all understand the opportunities that are out there for them? I've been to Silicon Valley, not just once indeed, and people thrive in Silicon Valley, and they either fail quickly or they succeed quickly as well. But do the Irish people in Platform 94 and others understand how to get involved?
Well, actually, I think it's through resources like Platform 94 that can be a really good springboard for scaling companies. I think the one thing that I would say to entrepreneurs is just really understand where you are and how quickly you were growing, and is Silicon Valley a good fit? You know, what you sometimes see is that companies simply have not done the homework when they arrive in Silicon Valley. So it's really important to equip yourself with knowledge. You know, I always say knowledge is power, and it's very true. Like, really understand the market, talk to people that are in market, that actually, you know, that have been there for some time, that have a lot of experience, versus jumping right in. Obviously, Silicon Valley is an expensive place to open an office or to expand, but it has a wealth of opportunities if you have a really good solution that the market needs. So if you are a scaling company, and if there's product market fit, that means that, you know you already have customers in market, the size of the US and the potential in Silicon Valley can propel you to be a global scaling company. And when I say that, that means, you know, obviously lots more jobs. If I think of the West of Ireland, lots more opportunities for people here, lots more exports from Ireland to countries like the US. And just, you know, we have seen so many success stories, and it's good to have a new chapter of success stories. And it's great to see, you know, the likes of, Platform 94 and also Portershed in the city too be a place where, you know, startups can begin their journey and then graduate to Platform 94 for their next part of the journey too.
And I suppose, Maura, we're very lucky that we have the local enterprise office here and we've got Enterprise Ireland. And, I mean, they work tirelessly with people, but I'm still sure you will get people. It's a typical Irish thing, I would think, as well, to go to Silicon Valley thinking that they can break it without having taken that journey. But the enterprise office and Enterprise Ireland, they are very important, so they are, for people to make a success of it.
Yeah, and I worked for the Enterprise Ireland office in San Francisco for a number of years. And the resources that Enterprise Ireland offers, not just at a local and regional level, and it's great to see the efforts of people like Carl Gibbons in Galway and beyond to more of a focus on the region from government, but also at this stage there's over 40 global offices that Enterprise Ireland run throughout the world. And those people in those offices are a great resource. So I would encourage everyone to talk to their development advisor, whether that be in Galway, the local Galway office, or in Dublin or in Cork, to talk to their development advisor and get them to connect them into offices. And the reality is they're only going to connect you in if they feel you're actually at that stage where you will grow. Because the worst thing you can do as a founder is spend a lot of time.
Plugged in. Is it cocky with
Easter savings?
Sorry, Maura, you can still hear me there?
Yeah. I think there's a bit of a breakup in the line. But like really my point was, you know, talk to your local representative and then make sure that it makes sense for you to go to Silicon Valley.
Absolutely. I mean, the situation in Silicon Valley, as you said, it is expensive to set up there. But again, I go back to my opening statement with you and from spending time there. I mean, they love to succeed and the Americans love to succeed and the investors want them to succeed. But if they fail, they can pick themselves up very quickly and go again.
Well, very much the culture in Silicon Valley is fail fast. You know, it has to be said in the last year or so, you know, the tides have changed a little bit. Capital has got a lot more competitive because the markets have changed. You know, ever since the Fed changed the interest rate in March 2022, capital has got much tighter. There's more of a focus on reducing cash burn. So you prove that you can be profitable quicker. Prior to that, it was all about failing fast. I think now there's probably a more sensible and measured outlook on growth. And investors, you know, apart from if you're a really hot Gen AI company, investors are really looking to the numbers. You know, are you at that 1 million ARR in revenues to a command investment? And can you be a company that will scale to 100 million in revenues? Every investor looks for those key outliers when they're evaluating a company to invest in. So that's, there's some kind of key figures to think about. Are you at a million right now? And can you scale quickly further? And it's not just about scaling, you know, it's also the velocity of that scale, the speed in which you can be grow and be very successful, because velocity equals the ability to offset any competition.
Absolutely. Can I mean, you mentioned the Portershed and Platform 94, and we've many other, I mean, they're just in Galway. I mean, the Portershed really started from, a very small start indeed to what it is today, as did Platform 95. And again, Galway Chamber of Commerce are invested in both of them, which is just testament to the likes of Kenny Deary and others that have driven it so far. How is the West of Ireland, how is Galway perceived, do you reckon, Maura, in Silicon Valley?
I think, you know, everyone knows that Ireland has a thriving startup ecosystem. And I think the one thing that's actually very important is organizations like Platform 94. Because the hardest thing for Irish founders, what I have seen is, you know, a lot of them can get access to seed capital. So you have an idea, you'll get funded by the local enterprise office or Enterprise Ireland. But the really hard part is that next stage in the journey. So you're about to scale, you've reached product market fit, but you then don't have the capital because the capital resources here for a Series A, B or C round are very limited. So I think the government has been very strategic in looking at how can we create these organizations that help companies that actually are on the road to scaling, that are bringing in revenue, that have hit that product market fit, that have some good early customers that can validate their offering. And I think that's, you know, a very smart strategy by Enterprise Ireland, because that's actually where Ireland has been lacking. So just building programs, you know, to expand knowledge, to build network is very important, obviously, as well in places like Silicon Valley and other places around the world. And also that access to capital. And the reality is Silicon Valley still is the leader in capital deployed, and it probably will be for a long, long time. Also, you know, whether you be medical devices, you know, a tech company, whatever it is, the majority of scaling companies are still in the Bay Area, you know, no matter what vertical. Yes, there may be, you know, obviously different clusters throughout the US, but still, no matter what vertical, there is a handful or many, many companies in Silicon Valley that could provide to be a great resource to you in a first customer, that really then can be a great jumping off point.
I was reading your biog, so I was last evening prior to speaking to you today, from humble beginnings in Castlebar, County Mayo, to graduating from NUIG to where you are today. You've had a great run of it, so you have, Maura.
I don't know if I'd call it a great run. I think I've always loved business, marketing. I love helping entrepreneurs, talking to founders, and just I get a buzz out of driving impact. I think that's for me the important thing. And obviously, I love also when I can help companies in the west of Ireland. You know, let's be honest, we're all a little bit biased about where we're from. And you always have a growl for that, no matter where you are in the world. So I just get a lot of joy, you know, when I actually can help founders and help move the needle for them. Thrilled to have a great education in Castlebar and actually in Limerick and Galway and other places and amazing mentors along the way.
Good stuff. Well, listen, great to have you. And I know that they were really excited to have you in Platform 94, and you did a lot of interviews and otherwise with them yesterday. So well done, Maura P. Walsh. Thank you for joining us. And I know that, again, the Porter Shed has some big names coming in on Friday and Saturday as well. So it's a busy, busy, busy time for entrepreneurs. Maura P. Walsh, thank you so much for joining us today, and have a good and a safe trip back, and enjoy the rest of your time here in Ireland. Now, let me just remind you where we are today. We're at the Access Department at the University of Galway here, and we're with you right through until 12 midday. If it's a thing, though, that you want to get in contact with the crew here, you can do so. And the number is quite simple. If you want to ring Imelda or Dr. Mary Searles, you can do so on 091-493-553. And the journey we spoke to Maura about there could be your journey, starting here by ringing that number, 091-493-553, and getting further details on the Access programme. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we're back just after these. Good morning to you. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into the programme today. We see indeed in Florida that the Governor Santis indeed has decided that social media can't, any children under 14 years of age in Florida cannot indeed be involved in social media. And if they are involved in social media, the company in question can be fined up to $10,000 per young person that would take a case against them. So to try and dovetail into that, I want to go to Josephine Criven, who sits opposite me today. And we're looking at arts and crafts to get 10 to 14 year olds off their phones. And she sits opposite me this morning. Josephine, good to see you again. How are you today?
Morning.
Pull in a little bit there for me altogether, if you don't mind. I would know you from your hairdressing days, but you're now painting in arts and crafts. And you do this through schools, do you?
I started painting in 19, and I just thought I want to do something more creative. So I contacted one of the schools, and I've done two terms there. So now I'm in schools and through the community centres.
And do you ask them to, he says, well, in schools now, they can't have their mobile phones with them, can they?
No, I'm actually trying to promote the 10 to 14s, because I think they think that arts and crafts is a baby thing to do.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I want to teach them sewing and knitting and crafts and things like
basic
that.
Basic stuff that when you and I were growing up that we were
absolutely
doing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Learning. Because you had nothing else to do.
No.
You know, so that's you're peering it right back then.
Well, I am, and trying to get them more creative. You know, I mean, if the internet goes down, what are they going to do?
Panic. Yeah, yeah.
You know, they'll have no other skill.
And what type of reaction are you getting?
Really well for the 7 to 10 year olds. But I just think the 10 to 14 don't think it's cool enough. So trying to promote that.
Yeah. And where do you operate from then? You operate in Oranmore and schools?
Yeah, I do it through after school study. And I'm in Oranmore Centre and Crockwell doing an Easter camp there.
And where can they get details on that camp?
Just email josephinework18@gmail.com.
josephinework?
W-O-R-K.
Yeah, 18@gmail.com. And do you have capacity then over the Easter for them?
We've a couple of places left in Crockwell. Oranmore is every week, 11:30 on a Saturday morning. So.
And do you get a good team coming into you?
Yeah, I mean, like the schools do really well the after school because the parents see that maybe they're working and they can, you know, do both where they're showing the kids the creative side. Mm. I mean, the kids love it. You know, they love making things, painting things.
Yeah. I think it's because, I mean, when we were young, that's what we did. Now, looking around us with all the young people here, they're kind of looking at us with two heads. But there was no internet. There was no dial-ups, there was no computers, there was little. But you either had to go to the bog or you had to cut the grass or you had to do a bit of needle.
Yeah, I can't see them in the bog now, but yeah. But yeah, it's opening their creative side. I mean, I go into a classroom and I do a sample of something and they'd be like, oh, we couldn't do that. But then they can see they can do it and they go out smiling with much more confidence in themselves that they can actually do something, can break something down to make it.
I think that's key though. And again, from the impact that you're having then, you're saying the 10 to 14 year olds, they're a challenge.
Well, it's not they're a challenge, they're just not signing up because they don't think it's cool. They think it's a baby thing to do. Mm. Whereas we'd be recycling and do knitting, crochet, sewing, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I suppose they think that the clothes that are on our backs came from pennies.
Yeah.
That they were never knitted.
Yeah, I think that's changing. I mean, they are going into secondhand shops now and, you know, maybe doing a little bit more of that.
Are they? Do you reckon they're doing that now? Yeah.
Well, I think so, a bit more. Yeah, the older crowd, the 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that are creative, that want to just make something out of something, yeah.
Yeah. So give me the address again then, that if they want to get in contact with you, what's the best address for them?
Well, I have Instagram, a website, and my email is josephinework18@gmail.com.
And what are you on Instagram?
Josephine Cribben. Oh. And then my website is Josephine Cribben Art.
If they want to get further details from there. Let us know how you're getting on. I hope it goes well for you, because I think going back to basics is good for them.
Oh, absolutely. It's just opening their creativity, you know. Yeah. They're not getting in schools, I suppose, because their teachers are trying to catch up with stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, I think there's too many demands on teachers, to be quite honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they are doing their best and they do arts with them, arts and crafts with them, but maybe just for the ones that want to do a bit more of it, it's an opportunity for them.
And they do home ec and they're throwing the kitchen sink at it. I mean, the education system is throwing the kitchen sink, but I suppose if they're that diverted because they have got access to phones and otherwise, that's where you come in then.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, the 7 to 10 year olds just love it, you know.
Because it's...
Because
they get it.
They're making things, yeah.
Yeah, it's creative for them, yeah. Josephine, thanks to you for joining us today on the programme. And continued success. So if you just want to Google Josephine Cribben, you can get further details from there. Just Josephine Cribben and get further details.
josephinework18@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thanks a million for that.
Thank you.
Quite a few comments coming into us today. I'll just take the WhatsApp phone here and give you a quick look at what's coming into us today. Keith, this caller, said, I went through the Access programme too, and it was absolutely fantastic. Well done to all involved in it. And Keith, this caller, said, hope you're keeping well, and I want to enter your competition. And we have a winner, so we have. I do have a winner here. Somewhere I'll find it for you now in just one moment. We do have a winner for that competition. It's here, I do believe. Well, it's somewhere on the desk here. I'll find it in a moment. Keith, Congratulations to all involved in the Access Programme. My brother went through it also, and it was absolutely fantastic, and well done to all involved in it. Now, let me go to Councillor Joe Sheridan, who should be joining me on the line at this stage, because yesterday, which I was surprised, to be honest, because I suppose... Maybe I'm talking out of turn here. I didn't think that we kind of highlighted the fact that the price of drink was going up. But yesterday, Diageo decided indeed to increase the price of the pint right across the board. And Joe joins me on the line from the Galway VFI president, County Galway VFI president. Joe, morning to you. Good to talk to you again on this one. I mean, it's an increase in the price of the pint, including the zero Guinness.
Yes, it has been a huge disappointment, Keith, to us all here in the pub trade. You know, this is on the back of last year's increment, which was around in February, late February, upon which a lot of publicans across Galway and in the West absorbed some in part of that increment. If not, and I know some publicans absorbed all of it. Now, I'm not here to tell anyone what they charge for their drink. That's not my post. But it is a huge disappointment to us, Keith.
Yeah, I suppose I haven't covered the price of the pint in a long, long time. I couldn't even tell you what the price of a pint is. But we haven't covered it in a long time. But it does seem, I mean, it comes on the back of another increase as well. So, I mean, is it because the cost of grain has gone up with what's going on in Ukraine? Is it the cost of production has gone up because it's just gone up right across the board? And why would the zero Guinness be gone up more than the alcohol Guinness?
Well, Kate, look at your listeners will be well aware as the cost of living and the cost of doing business has really jumped, Kate, from everything from rates, wages, insurance, Ishka Ireland putting up their water rates in the next couple of months, the pending pension being applied for employees. And these have all accumulated into what will be a perfect storm for the closure of businesses, especially businesses in rural Ireland, Keith, because they don't have the footfall that we get in larger conurbs or urban areas and cities. You know, when we talk about smaller settlements and smaller villages and towns, they rely on a smaller cohort to get over the hungry months of the year upon which we're in at this stage now in the year before the tourism wave begins for the West and we get tourists to kind of help get over the next winter again. With regard to the zero Guinness, we're getting, you know, the offerings of zero drinks, even in my own premises, I have maybe I'd say 8 or 9 at this stage now, Keith. So, you know, it's a welcome change for people and a lot of people are taking that on. The brewers would say that they have to make the product and then take the alcohol out of it, which is an extra cost. But I'd say there's a bit of profit gouging to be got from the international companies as well in this respect, Keith, because it is a growing segment. Ireland has about 2% of consumption of non-alcohol drinks in comparison to between 8 and 11 from our continental comrades. So they would see this as a growth area and they're probably cashing in for their shareholders in that respect. The publicans of Ireland, yeah, including myself, Keith, do not want to see the price of a pint going up. We understand the pressures that are on our customers and people going out for a coffee as well, to cafes or go to a bakery and stuff like that. The price of doing business is gone astronomically, Keith, for smaller family-run businesses. And it's going to end up in a perfect storm of closure in the coming months.
Yeah. Can I ask you just in relation to, you know, excise duty is on all alcohol. I mean, at this stage, should the government be looking at reducing the excise, maybe just to bring it down that little bit lower? I know we need taxes, but they seem to be getting an awful lot of them.
The responsible drinking of alcohol is what we're about and the provision of same, Keith. And the excise, we have the second highest excise in the European Union, a small island out in the middle of the Atlantic compared to one of the highest GDP per capita in Finland. So there is a disparity in Irish excise. I'm blue in the face, as is our organisation, in seeking. We sought a 7.5% reduction in on-trade service of alcohol. And the reason that was, Keith, was to promote the sensible use of alcohol. Because as we know, look, we all understand that alcohol is has to be carefully handled in a supervised area where people can enjoy life and enjoy the companionship of their friends, their communities. And that's why we were seeking that reduction. We to say blue in the face, maybe a little underestimate, probably more purple, to be honest, Keith, in the face.
I just wonder how much more can the country take from a taxation point of view and an increase point of view. And I mean, it's only 6 cents perhaps on the pint, but 6 cents, and if you're having a few of them, it's more than 6 cents. But I think it's the principle of it as well, because somebody somewhere is making money on this, and that's understandable, that's why they're doing it, but somebody somewhere is making money on it, and again, the customer's getting hit.
Correct, Keith. Look, I know of numerous publicans, including myself, when the last increment came on, we absorbed part of the increment so as not to add it to our paying customer at the counter. Now, that can only happen for so long, Keith, before that breaks the bank or the back of that business. And that's what you're seeing.
Absolutely.
It's not by accident that we're seeing 120 closures of pubs in Galway over the last 20 years or so. It's not by accident that that family-owned run businesses across the state are closing by the day and by the week, Keith. I can see it in every village, as your listenership will see. Businesses that have been multi-generational turning off the lights, and once they're gone, Keith, when the name has gone over the door, those businesses do not return. Some cases they do, and good luck to them, and I wish them luck.
Okay.
But it's more a rarity than the normal, to be honest, Keith.
All right, somebody said, Keith, I'm a person who likes a pint. Why don't they leave the non-bestsellers alone and put up the popular drinks? I'm not sure anymore if I can afford to socialise. I go to the pub to have many a chat and a giggle, and that's now gone, the scholar said. So that's a sad reflection on it. Joe Sheridan, Galway County VFI President, thank you for joining us today on the programme. Keep the fight up.
Thank you, Keith.
And I hope that the blue turns red fairly quickly and the purple turns red fairly quickly, and maybe somebody will see a little bit of common sense out there. Joe Sheridan, thank you for joining us today on the programme. Now, don't forget, if you do want to get in contact with us, we're coming to you live from the Access programme here in the University of Galway. And again, if you want to call them and find out more about it, you can do so 091-493-553. That's 091-493-553 for further details. Quick commercial break, and we've got two past students joining us next. Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. The comment lines are open if you want to get through to us today. You can do so on 091-770-077. You can also WhatsApp us if you want to 086-3833-553. And you can also contact the Access programme here at 091-493-553. I'm joined by my next two former students. Indeed, one of them is still working here. Olga O'Mahony sits opposite me today, and Aisling Fallon. Olga, I'll go to you first off. You've been on with us before, and you started in 2006?
2006, yeah. I started the school leaver programme just right out of school. Yeah.
What made you go for it?
Well, in secondary school, it's not something I like talk about that much, but if it helps anyone. So in secondary school, I was extremely depressed and anxious in my final year, and I missed a lot of school. There was different issues going on, and I didn't have the confidence to go into college. I wasn't even sure I'd set my leaving cert. Thankfully I did, but I knew I needed kind of help, I suppose, and support.
Good on you. But do you know what? That's an inspiration to others.
I hope so. I hope so.
But you know what it is, though? You took control of the situation yourself.
Yes.
And did you rock up here then in 2006?
Thankfully, my sister had actually previously completed the Access programme. She was one of the first cohorts, so I'd heard about it. We didn't know that much about it at the time, except for what Tracy had done. But I submitted the application form and all that, yeah. So it wasn't here at the time, it was over in Nuns Island.
Oh, it was the old office.
Yes, the old office, yeah.
2006, so I mean, yeah. And how has life been? So you got through it, all of that now. And look, yeah. And look where you are now.
I had a long journey, I suppose. I did a Bachelor of Arts afterwards in Maths and English, and then I did my HDiP, my postgraduate diploma in teaching, and then I did a Master's in Maths and a PhD in Maths, thankfully all here in NUIG, so I didn't have to go moving, or University of Galway, sorry.
Do you just love a challenge, do you? Maths, above all things.
I know, yeah, and do you know what I'd say to the listeners as well, and I tell this to my students all the time, and it's true, I did ordinary level maths all throughout school. Mm. All throughout school, for junior cert, leaving cert. I didn't feel able, we'll say, for honours, and yet I went on and did a PhD in maths, so...
How did you find it?
Difficult, of course. It was.
But you have it.
I do. I have it since 2018 now. It was great. It was a great challenge. It was difficult. There was times, of course, I wasn't sure if I'd get through it, but I did. And I had a great supervisor here as well in the maths department.
So 12-year journey.
Yes. Yeah. I thought initially that I wanted to do secondary school teaching. That's why I did the maths and English and the postgrad then. But I realised when I was teaching that I wasn't finished learning. So that's why I went back.
So you want to be the student for life?
Well, no, I am not anymore. I'm not anymore. From about 2015, I was teaching in the Access course, the maths programme. And then in 2018, I became the coordinator for the Mature Students Access Programme. So I was here for a couple of years, and I'm in ATU now at the moment.
You're on the other side of town?
I am, yeah.
Are you still working in the same field?
Yeah, I'm in the School of Science and Computing over there. So maths would be one of the main things over there.
Ashling Fallon sits up to me as well today. Ashling, morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning.
Can I pull you in just a little bit in there?
Of course.
Is it true that you two are cousins?
We are. First cousins all our lives.
Yeah. Well, I hope your first cousins are all your lives as well. Didn't come as a surprise to you from there. So really and truly, you did the Access Programme in 2010 and you're working here now.
Yeah, so I completed the Access Programme in 2010. I had a great inspiration, I suppose, coming before me with Olga and her sister. And then after me, my mum went on to do it too. But I guess our story is similar, but also very different. I had struggles of my own in Leaving Cert, and I struggled from severe anxiety as well back then. So the thoughts of even being across from you back then would have seemed possible. So the Access course, I guess, supported that. Mm. And now I'm so grateful it's gone full circle and I'm here now working in administration. So if you do pop in or you call, it's probably myself or my colleague, Leash, that you'd be speaking to. So it's just great to be on the other end of it now.
But do you know what? I love the two of you for your honesty. So I do, because some people might think that, you know, it's grand, university's a bit of crack in that. But you've had a journey now, the two of you. And that's fine that you can say it, you had a journey. And anxiety is shocking.
Absolutely. Like, the Access programme is so transformative, without a doubt.
Did it give you great confidence?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still nervous here as I'm sitting across from you, but...
Why would you be nervous looking at a 62-year-old, overweight, grey-haired fella? Why would you be nervous of that at all? And talk to me about your mum then. So your mum followed suit, so your aunt... And your mum?
Yes, yeah.
Followed
so
suit.
My mum is 72. She's a big fan of yours. She told me to say hello to you this morning.
Where is your mum from?
She's living in Castle Park originally. She's from Remore originally, though.
What was her maiden name?
O'Mahony. Patricia.
Patricia? You're not Patricia's daughter.
I'm Patricia's daughter, yes. Yeah, and so she said, so say a big hello.
Your Mossy's niece?
Yes. Yeah.
I knew your grandfather very well. When he worked in Merlin Park, that's how small Galway is.
It is, it's very small, you never know where
and
you're talking.
Patricia came back to college because...
She did.
She gives me every blow-by-blow account of what she does.
Yeah, she does. I can imagine, I'm not surprised.
Is the breathing any better at this weather?
No, she's actually in hospital at the moment.
She's struggled with that for a while.
Yeah, she has. She's a warrior though. She'll be back here studying still. She's doing a master's here as well at the Met, so...
I didn't realise you were Patricia's daughter. A wonderful person.
Yeah.
A wonderful person. Wonderful. A wonderful family. They were from Woodlands Avenue, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
God above. Small world. Now I feel nostalgic, so I do. Now I feel nervous, so I do. Aisling, never mind you from there. So the key message, Aisling, then, for people that may be listening to us today, is that they can do what you did and what Olga did.
Yeah, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. Even if in the moment you feel like you can't, the access course, I know Imelda said a while ago, I heard her speak, and she spoke about scaffolding, and it's that even if you're given the opportunity to come on the course and develop, like, your difficulties don't go away, but the APA Centre as a whole, I suppose, really is that scaffolding and will help to support you through it so that you can get where you want to be, and will continue to support you, which is absolutely fantastic. They're just amazing.
And again, it's to make that first step. It's that first step that you make, that you pick up the phone and that you ring the number that I've been giving out all morning long, which is, and you're the one that's answering it today.
Exactly. So you'll already have contact with me now. You'll have heard my voice, and I'd be just absolutely delighted to hear anyone's
call.
There's
nothing else to do just to talk to you all day long. So she has 091-49-35-53 if you want to get further detail. 091-49-35-53 and get details from there. I'll get from your point of view then, because you started before your cousin Aisling did and before Patricia did, how would you say to somebody listening to us today that was in your position and maybe finished school and wasn't finished school, what would you say to them? How would you entice them to come back into education?
Well, I suppose it all depends, first of all, if they want to. It would be my first thing. But I'd say, just like Aisling was saying, the access course, and like Imelda, it's scaffolding as well. Because I was the coordinator as well, whether it's school leavers, whether it's mature students, I got to know them very, very well. And I got to see this journey of people who were extremely nervous, extremely anxious, thought they couldn't do it, had been told during their lives that, oh, you can't do this, or you're not good enough, or whatever. And in the space of a few months, bit by bit, it wasn't instantaneous, it was bit by bit, week after week, at the end they come out a new person. So if it's something, education I do think is for everyone, and like that, it is a lifelong journey in one sense, but it's very enjoyable.
And do you know what must be, even for you, Aisling, your microphone is now open again, so but the graduation day for you, your first, your first graduation day must have been very special, and for you, Aisling, as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think even the access graduation, because here we'd have our own graduation too, and I feel like that is even so special. Really, really it is. There's something so special about that, knowing that that pathway was created there for you, because you might not have gotten to your other graduation if it hadn't have been for that support beforehand. Yeah. So that's a very special day.
And would you say life-changing experience?
Oh, absolutely. Completely transformative. Life-changing.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be who I am without the access course.
And so you've been on with me before, have you?
Yeah, back when I was the coordinator of the mature students, trying to entice mature students to apply, yes. Yeah.
But you're giving back and you're trying to get people in, and mature students and access. So you're still trying to help people to make that decision.
Oh yeah, of course. Well, 100%, as soon as Imelda asked me if I wanted to come on today, I said yeah, straight away. And it's not because I'm not nervous or anything like that, but access will always be a big, big part of me and really close to my heart, and I think it's just absolutely fantastic.
And Aisling, looking at you, because you work here now, what was the biggest step for you to make when you made that first call? She's sharing her water. This is just shocking.
We're cousins.
Your cousins.
I think just putting in the application in itself, like, that was the biggest step, was just taking that step to put that forward. And like, I know Olga had went before me and Tracy had went before me too, and they were so inspirational, but still, for me, at where I was at that point in my life, I still didn't think, okay, they showed me a path and I'm so grateful, but still, where the depths that I was in, I didn't think still I would be accepted, that it was ever for me or that I was ever good enough. So I think putting in that was so frightening and it was so scary, but it was the best step that I've ever taken in my whole life.
And then coming in here for the interview, what was that like? Now you can be honest about Imelda. Go on.
It's kind of, I think when you go through access, one thing I will say, obviously access is so important to me. So coming in to this position or interviewing for this position would have been, just crazy. Like, in my mind, I would have been nervous that it meant so much. But coming in, I guess if you go through Access, it's almost like a home from home, or, you know, so you feel safe and supported as well. So I can't say it wasn't too bad.
But Imelda and Dr. Mary Searles were with us earlier on. You could just see the passion they have and the love that they have for those, and they wanted to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
They wanted to work, and if you want to make it work, it'll work for you if you're here. Even I was saying, if somebody wants to make a run for the door after 6 months, there's support there as well.
There is.
There really is. Guys, thanks for joining us. Aisling, give your mum my best of luck. And Olga, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Give your aunt the best of luck. And give Imasi then is your uncle as well?
Yes. Yeah.
My God.
Noreen is Patricia's sister, who's my mother. Yeah.
Don't confuse me now. I'm getting confused enough here. Guys, thanks for joining us. Olga O'Mahony and her cousin, Aisling Fallon. And indeed, Patricia, I hope that you're in good fettle in the hospital today. And I hope that you get out fairly quickly. And I'd say the family will be delighted with the break, that they don't have to worry about you for a few days while you're in there. I know her too well, you see, because we talk too often. But enjoy the time at the hospital and do get well. Patricia, you're a mighty person, so you are, and always have been. So keep strong. Now, yet to come in the programme, we have financial advice with Dave McCarthy from McCarthy & Associates. He's currently lost on campus, and the security people are looking for him as we speak. We have a lovely story coming the way from Kylemore Abbey today. They have an exciting Easter schedule as well. And I know that everyone will be eating lamb for Christmas, or a lot of people will be eating lamb for Christmas, but we'll be looking at the lamb project from there. And also, indeed, we'll be looking and speaking of the University of Galway's open day for TY Taste of Health Care as well. So we'll be doing that between now and the end of the programme. Comment lines are open if you do want to get through to us. We'd love to hear from you today. And again, just all those lines are open if you want to get in contact with us, including 091 770 077. So let's head back to Studio One and to the news desk and the Galway BFM News and Death Notices. Stay tuned for that and more to come. And we're with you live from the Access programme here in University of Galway just after these.